الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Views of Madani Channel. There are many excellences and virtues in regards to reciting salutations and peace upon the best of creation, our Master, our Intercessor, our Savior, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Some narrations tell us that a person's rank will be increased. Other narrations state that the one who recites Salat al-Nabi, his sins are forgiven. This is purification for him. And like this, there are so many excellences mentioned in the hadith collection. But we hear these narrations time and time again. The question we should be asking ourselves is how many of us actually go away and make a habit, an aada of reciting salawat ala nabi. Sheikh Suleiman Jazuli, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, famous scholar who wrote the renowned, amazing work on Durood Sharif known as Dala'ilul Khairat. Dala'ilul Khairat is read by Muslims across the globe. And it's a beautiful compendium, a collection of Salawat ala al-Nabi composed by the great Imam Jazuli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. There's a story behind it as well. But what blessings were attained by Imam Jazuli himself when he compiled this book, when he made an aada, a habit of reciting Durood Sharif Salawat ala al-Nabi. It's narrated that when he passed away and he was buried, 70 years after his burial, 70 years, not 7 years, not 17 years, 70 years. That's, for some people, that's an entire lifetime. They live until 70. 70 years after his burial, due to some reason, due to a flood or something similar, the grave had to be excavated. His blessed body was taken out of the grave 70 years after it passed away. And eyewitnesses relate this account that his body, his shroud, everything was still intact. It was pure and it was as if he had just been buried in the grave. But when did they take his body out? 70 years later. Even his blood circulation seemed normal. This is what the narrator state. So subhanAllah, Imam Jazuli rahmatullahi alayhi was honored in this way. Why so? Because of his love and devotion towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of this love, he spent a lot of time remembering the beloved, reciting salawat ala nabi, and he compiled this book, Dala'ilul Khairat. Just imagine the rewards he will attain on the Day of Judgment. Because we're told that if you start a good act in Islam, you will get the reward for that. And you will also attain the reward for all those who act upon it as well. So he left this ummah with a beautiful gift, Dala'ilul Khairat. We should all try to obtain this book. It's available in the markets. And we should buy this, we should read this. And the scholar Imam Jazuli rahmatullahi alayhi wrote in such a way that there is one hizb, one portion for each day of the week. So you read it every day. There's a separate portion for Monday, separate one for Tuesday. And like this for the entire week. And if you want to attain the same blessings, if we want to gain comfort in the grave as well. Of course, as Muslims, we don't want to enter the grave and have our bodies decomposed within moments. The body of a person begins to emit a foul smell. Nobody wants that. We all want our bodies to emit fragrance. We all want to be in peace in the grave. And how do we attain that? We follow in the footsteps of the likes of Imam Jazuli rahmatullahi alayhi. We remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and we recite salawat ala al-Nabi in abundance, inshaAllah. May Allah ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to do so. Amin. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's make some good intentions. The first hadith which is found in Bukhari is innamal a'malu bin niyat. The actions are based upon intentions. Whenever you get an opportunity to do a good deed, make good intentions beforehand, as this will increase your reward. Make the intention that as long as you are in the house of Allah, you will abide by the etiquette of the masajid, the adab of the masajid. This is no ordinary place. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will either speak for a person on the day of judgment or against a person. So we have to be very mindful of this as well. Along with this, whatever will be conveyed obviously consists of Islamic knowledge, sacred knowledge. So make the intention that I will show ta'zeem, reverence and veneration towards Islamic knowledge. I will listen with full concentration. And whatever I remember, I will try my utmost to act upon it myself. And I will also convey this knowledge to my family members, my friends, relatives, whoever I can approach and explain this knowledge to, inshallah. Like this, always make good intentions in abundance. The topic today, in the brief time we have, is regards to a sifa, a quality, an attribute which is praiseworthy, which is mahmood, which is mustahsan, which is liked, which is recommended. In fact, it is a must for a Muslim to have this sifa in his life. This attribute that I'm referring to is very much liked by Islam, by our Creator, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we must try and adopt this attribute in our life. What is that? We have to display, express, and demonstrate haya, modesty in our lives. We have to be Muslims who are modest, who have haya in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the dunya, we become fearful of people based upon their status in society. I hope I don't put a foot wrong here. I hope I don't get on the wrong side of so-and-so. Otherwise, there'll be repercussions, there'll be consequences. And we're scared of people. We show haya before people. But what about our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah Ta'ala knows every single thought that crosses our mind. He knows what the eyes look at. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. We're told in the Quran that Allah Ta'ala knows about the deception of the eyes, and He knows what is concealed in the hearts. So nothing can escape His knowledge. So it is necessary, it is compulsory upon Muslims to adopt modesty, haya in our life. If we don't and we do the opposite, we become immodest people. People who carry out acts of indecency, then sooner than later, we will face the consequences of that. Because remember, being immodest, being indecent is not only disliked in Islam, but it's a sin as well, as we will cover inshallah. In this society that we live in now, there's no doubt that the temptations have increased, the mawaqi', the opportunities to sin have definitely increased. Meaning back in the days, people's lifestyles were different. People had haya, but their lifestyles, their environments assisted them in that the women folk would be strict observers of the veil, shari'i parda, they would cover themselves from head to toe as the Quran commands. They wouldn't reveal their beauty before others. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. The Quran tells women, do not reveal your zina, your beauty. And then it mentions, except to certain people, example husband, or before their own family members, parents, etc. So those days were better in the sense that the societies were pure. And the mawaqi', the opportunities to sin were very less. But now, the more we become distant from the era of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the more tribulations the ummah is facing, the more difficult it's becoming. Think about it. 1,000 years ago, if you said to someone, there will soon come a time where a person will hold an ala, a device or a tool in his hand, and he could commit thousands of sins a day just using that one ala, that one device. They'll say, what are you on about? That's not possible. Because these inventions didn't exist then. And now that they do, they have created a lot of ease in the lives of people, no doubt. Communication has become easier. You can speak to someone on the other side of the world very easily. Everyone's accessible. But at the same time, this device, this tool, can be a means of great fitna, great test and sin as well. So no doubt, it's become more harder. But does that mean that we use that as an excuse now? Oh, I can't protect my eyes because it's become hard. In fact, as Muslims, we should think the greater the test, the greater the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala created me for this era. Otherwise, I would have been born 1,000 years ago. But Allah ta'ala will for me to be present in this era. I must do mujahada. I must struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I must refrain from sin. And there's no excuses that will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, let's listen to a few accounts from our pious predecessors, our aslaf, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, and how they showed great levels of modesty in their life, to such an extent that some of them became known by this sifa of modesty. People would address them like that. People would know them to be really, really modest as well. For example, Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, the third Khalifa of Islam. The scholars refer to him as Kamilul Haya'i wal Iman, the one who attained perfection in terms of modesty and Iman, faith. That Sayyiduna Uthman's modesty, Haya, was on a different level, was on a next level. Once what happened, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his home. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting when Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu entered the blessed room after seeking permission. The Prophet alayhi salam fulfilled the need of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and he left. He was on his way. Similarly, it's mentioned that Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he also sought permission. He came in. The Prophet alayhi salam is still in his normal position. And Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu presents his need. The Prophet alayhi salam fulfills that need. And Sayyiduna Umar is on his way as well. Then what happens? Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu seeks permission and he enters. When this happens, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sits up. He changes his position. And then Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan had his need fulfilled as well. And he was on his way. Sayyidina Aisha asked. She says, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father entered, meaning Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. You continued sitting as you were, in the same position, and then you fulfilled his need and he was on his way. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu then entered and the same thing happened. How come when Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu entered, you changed your state? You sat upright. And that is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam revealed why he did so. And he said that Uthman is a very modest individual. His haya is on the next level. And I feared that if I permitted him to enter in that same state, then his need would not have been fulfilled, meaning he would have returned without saying anything. Some people, like Sayyidina Uthman, their haya is on another level where if he saw the Prophet alayhi sallam still in that state, he would have felt that he is causing a disturbance in the rest of the Prophet or interfering with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's jadwal or schedule. And he would have returned. Now to think of it, the Prophet alayhi salam had every right to continue. Continue lying down like that, sitting in that state. But it shows the level of haya possessed by Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And truth be told, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, he is that individual who not only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized his level of haya, but even the angels alayhi wa sallam, the ma'soom, innocent angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know about the level of haya possessed by Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that why would I not show haya before that individual, whom even the angels show haya before. The Prophet ﷺ, revealing the excellence of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anh, said that why wouldn't I show haya before him? Even the ma'soom angels of Allah, the innocent angels, the infallible angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show haya before Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. And the hadith in Nasa'i shows how pure Sayyidina Uthman was. He says that even in the era of ignorance, the era of ignorance before Islam arrived, before the Prophet ﷺ blessed the world with his noble presence, was known as the era of ignorance. People were doing all sorts. Ma'adallah, burying their daughters alive, depriving the women from inheritance. And in fact, it's sad to say that a lot of these things are creeping back into our Muslim societies. People deprive their sisters of inheritance, the women folk of inheritance. And that was happening then. Women were treated as objects of desire. Unlawful killings were taking place. Tribal warfare, months on end. For no reason, for trivial matters. Jahala, ignorance was at its peak. People were, ma'adallah, even considering zina, adultery and fornication lawful with their own blood relatives, own family members, own siblings. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu states regarding that period, he says, by Allah, he takes an oath, I did not commit adultery even during the age of ignorance. Meaning when this was rife, rampant, it was taking place. Majority of the people, you could say, were indulged in these things. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu says, even during that period, I did not commit adultery. And he continues, and he says, nor did I do so after embracing Islam. In fact, after Islam, my modesty has only increased. Who's saying this? Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, one of the most modest people from the entire ummah. The Prophet alayhi salam himself, how can his sahaba not be so modest when he himself is the pinnacle of modesty? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so modest that is stated in a hadith which is in Mishkat. The Prophet alayhi salam was even more shy than an unmarried girl behind her veil. The Prophet alayhi salam was very modest, very bashful. And we are ummatis of that very same Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Prophet alayhi salam, who Sayyidina Uthman copied to the T, followed in every way. And that's how he attained such ranks. But how far have we come from the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is something that we should think about. Another account, and this is from the early period of Islam as well. There was an individual, it's from the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. There was an individual, very pious, very devout, an ascetic young man. I remember in youth, temptations are more and more difficult to avoid or to refrain from. When a person's very young, those thoughts don't even cross his mind. His mind is innocent. Although we know today, there's an agenda to corrupt the minds of young people. But alhamdulillah, Islamically speaking, we know to ensure that the minds of young children remain innocent for as long as possible. And they're not corrupted. That's how they will develop haya in their lives. So when someone's really young, his mind is not even inclined towards such thoughts. And when somebody's really old, then his limbs give way. He has no energy. And at that age, he's not even inclined towards sin. There's a disinclination towards sin. And the opportunity is not there. But when a person is young, adulthood, he has strength in his body, in his limbs, temptation is everywhere. That is the real test. That if he passes that test, subhanallah, then the hadith state regarding such people that on the day of judgment, they will be given a special place under the shade of Allah's throne. Yes, one of those people, in one hadith where seven individuals are counted, one of those people who will be given the shade of Allah's throne on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be a young man who was enticed by a beautiful young woman to commit sin. But he says, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he refrains from committing that sin. So this is how much our religion of Islam likes for a person to adopt modesty in his life. But going back to the account, this young man, during the era of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Umar was even amazed by his worship. That's how pious he was. If Khalifatul Muslimin, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, the second Khalifa of Islam, was blessed with the honor of lying at the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his rank Allah Ta'ala knows. when he is impressed by someone's taqwa, then you know that person is really pious. What happened? It stated that at night when this person would perform Isha Salah, he would go and look after his father, his elderly father. He would serve him. And as we know, we must serve our parents. Anybody who has children will realize what our parents did for us. Throughout the night, when a child gets up, when a child cries, child needs cleaning, parents sacrifice their own sleep, their own comfort, their own ease for our sake. So this young man was exemplary in this regard. Subhanallah, it stated that he would go and he would look after his father. But on the way towards his father, there was a young woman who would invite him and call him towards sin. But alhamdulillah, because of that taqwa in his heart, he would avoid it each time. But when temptation is there, when the opportunity to sin is there, and it's continuously being presented to you, sooner or later, your nafs will get involved. Shaitan will get involved. So what happened? It states that one day, this person, he succumbed to his nafs, his ego. Shaitan overpowered him. And it stated that he went towards the woman. And when he went towards the woman, he remembered certain verses of the Quran. And this is why it's important to learn knowledge. Some people think a hafiz should only memorize the Quran from start to finish. And we shouldn't memorize anything. Only an alim needs to read books upon books and Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and Tafaseer. But look at how knowledge saved this person. It was through the mercy of Allah, of course, but he had knowledge. So when he went towards that woman and reached the door, it stated that he remembered some verses of the Quran. What were those verses of the Quran? Surah Al-A'raf, verse 201. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. That indeed those who fear Allah, whenever a temptation from the devil touches them, they become alert. And at that very moment, their eyes open up. And they realize not to go ahead and do that sin. They realize this is the plot of shaitan. This is the trickery of shaitan. And they avoid sin. So what happened? He remembered this blessed verse. The khawf, the fear of Allah Ta'ala overcame his heart. It was dominant upon his heart. And it stated that he fell unconscious on the floor. He didn't return home for a lengthy while until his father and others went out in search for him, to look for him. They found him. They brought him back home. He regained consciousness. They said, what happened? He began to relate the account again. And when he reached this point and he remembered the verse of the Quran, again the fear of Allah overcame his heart. And it's mentioned that he let out a scream, and by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his soul left his body. His soul left his body in that state. What was his last act? Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. He passed away, and this happened at night. Shroud, burial, all of that took place. People buried him. In the morning when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala found out, he said, why didn't you tell me? Because he knew about that person's taqwa, his level of piety. He said, why didn't you tell me? I would have gained the honor of being in his funeral janazah as well. And they said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, we didn't want to disturb you, it was late at night. And that's why we just continued with his funeral, his janazah, his shrouding, his burial, etc. Sayyidina Umar said, take me to his grave. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and goes to the grave of this person. And he asks him a question. And he says to him, O person, meaning he read a verse first. He said, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. And for the one who fears standing in the majestic court of his Lord are two paradises, Jannatul Adn and Jannatul Na'im. So Sayyidina Umar is asking this person by reciting this verse, did you attain two paradises? I want to confirm. And what do you think was the answer that came from the grave? Of this pious man who avoided sin. And he passed away in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A loud voice came, O Amirul Mu'mineen, surely my Lord has granted me two paradises. So, respected brothers in Islam, viewers of Madini Channel, the importance of modesty, haya in our lives cannot be stressed enough. This is indispensable. We can't do without haya. Because if we do the opposite, what does Allah Ta'ala state in the Quran? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That indeed those who desire that fahisha, indecency, becomes widespread amongst the believers, for them is a painful punishment in the dunya and the akhirah. And we have certain people today who promote indecency. They promote immodesty. Think about it for a moment. People who are involved in music, singing and singers and musicians, and they arrange concerts, they arrange events, and they invite other people, and there's immodest actions taking place there, dancing and all sorts. Are they not included in those who spread indecency? Of course they are. Similarly, those people who, amongst their family members at home, are not bothered by the fact that certain obscene things are being watched on the TV, and nobody bats an eyelid. That everyone watches these series, everyone watches this program, and it's fine. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Amir Ahl Sunnah Dawud Barakat Mulaliya says that how foolish is this way of thinking? That is only on the TV. If somebody was standing outside your home doing an indecent act, perhaps with another individual, you would storm out of your house and you say, what are you doing? I've got young kids in the house. I've got family members. Go away. And you would be stern in your approach as well. But that same thing is being displayed on the TV. Nobody cares. So this is something that the Ummah needs to think about. That if we want to keep our minds pure, our hearts pure and clean, we have to adopt modesty, haya. And when you have haya in your heart, anything like that, you will turn away from straight away. And you will stop all avenues that reach there. Today, parents, for example, who say, my children are the apple of my eye. And they are. Children are a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we give tarjih to our children. We give preference and priority to them. But does that mean that we provide and arrange all sorts of sinful facilities or arrangements for them? Of course not. If we know that there's a very likely, strong likelihood that if I buy this device for them, then they may go onto social media and there's all sorts of filth on there, then we have to think twice. I'm not talking about young people nowadays, young children who are exposed to these things. And their eyes are seeing things that in the past maybe a young adult did not even see. And it's being spread, it's being promoted. And we as Muslims need to ensure that we realize what's going on. And we can't just say, oh, this is the status quo, it's normal now, everybody's doing it. No. And parents fail when they say, I need to do something in the house and I need to keep my children occupied. That's why I give them the phone, or that's why I put this on for them or that on for them. And it's very dangerous because we are causing our own problems. So modesty, haya is something that we must adopt at all costs, and to instill that in our children, we have to ensure that we're not providing avenues of sin for them. And whenever something occurs that could lead to immodesty, we clamp down on it. Using wisdom, using affection, using a gentle and polite approach, we teach our children. We befriend them and we say, look, this is wrong. Why? Because it could lead to this. Our beautiful religion of Islam and our merciful Lord does not like this. And we need to ensure that we're vigilant, we're watchful, and we're not lazy in this regard. Because certain mindsets are being created and adopted without us even realizing. Because we're negligent, because we're lazy, because we don't know what our kids are watching, we don't know what they're doing online, we don't know who they're befriending. So this is very, very important. If we want that golden age to return, and we want our ummah to produce great people, the likes of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala, and who had extreme high levels of modesty, then we must play our part as well, inshallah. And one way of adopting modesty is, of course, being around people who are like-minded. If you're associating with people who couldn't care less, and they have that mindset that everything goes, it doesn't matter, you know, everyone's doing it, if I do it, it doesn't make a difference, then obviously you're going to suffer the consequences. But if you're with people who think similarly to you, immodesty must be avoided. Modesty must be adopted at all costs. And inshallah, you will see the blessings of modesty in your own life and amongst your generations as well. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to adopt haya, modesty in our lives, this beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and this modesty that was instilled in the hearts of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, all the way down to the tabi'in, atba'u tabi'in, awliya'i kamilin. We must revive that if we want our societies to flourish and prosper again. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to do so. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.